Good morning, guys. It is Tuesday, the 10th of May, an ugly night on Wall Street. What happened, Henry?
What happened, Tom, is that it was an ugly night on Wall Street. Once again, we saw fears about inflation, fears about stagflation, fears about recession, fears about the Chinese lockdown spreading, and it was pretty much a sell across the board. We had the Dow Jones down nearly 2%, 654 points. Not a great way to kick off the week. Even worse, of course, was the NASDAQ down 4.3% and the S&P down 3.2% with no real rally, no real support in sight. There are some, just looking at Dow futures at the moment, they're down 90 points as well after being up to start our trading day. So no good news there, and no good news in commodities either. Iron ore took a bit of a bashing, probably about time it did, down 4.7%. And interestingly as well, we saw the oil price fall last night. The EU is going a little bit Mr. Floppy on the sanctions that they're going to put on Russia in terms of oil. Hungary and Slovakia are very much the holdouts there amongst the EU nations. So there are some concerns that maybe the EU won't be able to put in such aggressive sanctions as they had announced with Ursula von der Leyen. Brent crude down nearly 6%, WTI down just over 6%. Gold, that wonderful port in the storm, unfortunately doesn't seem to be a port in the storm at the moment. That fell 1.3%. And base metals across the board down, with a special shout out to nickel, which managed to drop 6.4%, and tin, a similar amount as well. So there was basically red across all asset classes, including Bitcoin, which was down 9%. So nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, as they say. And of course, our market has taken it pretty harshly this morning, which I'm sure you're going to update our listeners on in a minute, Tom.
Yes, thank you, Henry. That ugly session overnight flowing into our day. The ASX 200 is down 177 points or 2.5%. A lot worse than what the futures had indicated. The index is below 7,000 for the first time since the 9th of March 2022. All sectors, understandably, in negative territory. Tech, energy and miners leading. Fortescue off 5.6%. Rio down 6.6%. Consumer staples and healthcare are outperforming, but that does not help you much in a down day. CSL down only 0.2%. There's some speculation Lendlease may look to sell its construction arm. Imugene and Pendle responding well to updates. And all the major banks are down between 0.9% and 1.3%. Nothing really exciting on the economic front. Marcus is back today. What do you have to...
Hooray!
Hooray! We're all overjoyed to have him back in the office.
Well, you should be, because every time I go on holiday, the market falls over. So the mere fact that I'm back means it's almost certainly going to bottom. As I come back, we have got what? The NASDAQ is now 28% off the high in November. The S&P 14%. Europe 10.05%. Our market, reasonably pedestrian, only down 8.9%. And obviously, we're in freefall. Also, Bitcoin down 52%, which is a sentiment indicator, and all the issues. But coming back, the obvious thing is there is no shock issue here. These are all slow burn issues. It's still to do with higher interest rates, valuations on high PE stocks because of higher interest rates coming off, inflation risk, risk of recession, as you've written in the pre-market today, risk of the Fed derailing the economy as they try to get on top of inflation. These are all slow burn issues. We're in the middle of a sentiment drop, and the circumstances haven't materially changed from when I went away. And the 10-year bond yield in the US is just over 3%, hit 3.2%. That's what it was when I went away. So nothing has really materially changed. So this is very much a sentiment issue. And yes, we may have been due a correction on the charts. We could have been screaming about how overbought they were a month or two ago, but this is a sobering up, and it's going to present buying opportunity is my ultimate conclusion. It's obviously not today. So I am reluctant, despite the fact there have been a few accusations of us or me being asleep at the wheel with the Forever portfolio in particular. We've got some big losses in that now. I'm not too concerned, or certainly not pushed to do selling at this point in time, because we've missed the big drops in technology. The all tech sector, by the way, is down 39% from the top. It's down 23% since March. You compare that to our market down 8.9%. 9%. And you can see that this really is a technology thing. Rather interestingly, I have updated the ETF spreadsheet today and the All Ords spreadsheet. Sorry for not doing that a bit earlier. And if you look at the ETF spreadsheet's got performance numbers, and it's very interesting today to have a look at what ETFs have performed badly and well in the sell down. And it produces a really good list, which is in the, will be in the strategy piece today, of ETFs that are highly geared to the upside and ETFs highly geared to the downside. I won't run through them all, but have a look at the list. But it is obvious at this point that in this correction, because each correction has its own nature. So this correction has been about energy. Energy's performed really quite well, and gold has done okay. The US dollar's done very well. One of the worst ETFs is the Aussie dollar ETF. So at some point that's going to turn around. The Aussie dollar is going to rise, the US dollar is going to start to fall. But the obvious sectors, and this is just a lesson for the future, the obvious sectors that fall in a correction, in a loss of sentiment, are growth stocks. You look at the high conviction ETFs, they're all down. High PE sectors, technology, healthcare, biotech, and concept sectors. These are sectors that really require positive market sentiment to perform at all. And they are conceptual. A lot of them don't have earnings, but you've been destroyed in cybersecurity, clean energy, robotics, innovation, hydrogen, cloud computing. You know, these are, and these are all those ARK ETFs as well. And these are all going to come ripping back at some point. So these lists identify what to look to buy should sentiment improve and what's likely to come off the top when sentiment improves as well. But the bottom line is, I think that requires a sure and sober head at this point to say, let's not throw everything out with this correction. We're already deep into it, if you look at the NASDAQ and the S&P, in which case the better opportunity at this point is probably looking for the bottoming. And it certainly isn't here today, so I wouldn't be buying anything today. But at some point it will. And when it does, you probably need to be looking to buy into high growth technology, concept sectors, sentiment driven sectors. The other thing to say, of course, is there's never a rush to buy. The market goes up slowly. It takes three times as long to build confidence as it does to lose it. So the comeback will be slow and probably a few false dawns. But as I come back objective from Tasmanian motorbikes and mud, I can see that everyone's losing it. And this I don't think is the time to cut your losses. Just my humble thoughts. Anyway, we'll see what goes on. I have a couple of other things for everybody in a moment.
Well, that's a great perspective also to share, that things haven't really changed that much since when you've left, but the market's down quite a bit. So that's something that...
If we'd seen a big change in attitude towards Chinese growth, or you had seen a really changed situation in the Ukraine that threatened energy prices for a long period of time, or you saw bond yields going to 3.5-4%, then things are changing. But things really, the macro background really hasn't changed that much. So I can't see that it's much more than the market coming to terms with something we've known about for a long time. And at some point it will settle.
Market turning glass half empty, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And Henry, what are you talking about today in Henry's take?
Well, I guess in my take, just possibly a slightly more sober view. I was very much the view fat and happy at Easter, and then it all goes to custard afterwards. And that does seem to have played out quite well. Even the sell in May and go away played out quite well. As Marcus says, it's probably too late to sell things. Having said that, I am cashing up in the ETF portfolio because it is US exposed. And there doesn't seem a lot of point in holding it when it continues to just beat me around the head. The small cap portfolio does rely on confidence and money flows and liquidity, and that is getting whacked around big time. And as a result, that's suffering at the moment, as you would expect. It is high risk, highly speculative in places, but there are certainly some interesting bargains starting to crop up. Looking at some of the prices of some of the things, they are looking quite attractive. I'm not rushing in as yet, as they say in Kung Fu, patience, grasshopper, but certainly there is a good case, or at some stage, as Marcus rightly points out, this market will bottom, and the things that have been thrown out as speculative plays and thrown out to pay for things, other things, will bounce hard and fast as the money comes back in. But it's certainly been a salutary lesson for retail investors, especially new retail investors who haven't seen this kind of route before. Certainly since COVID, we did have a few mini routes, but it has seen a lot of the volumes dry up for the likes likes of, you know, Robin Hood in the US and self-wealth, etc. here. So it's certainly not for the squeamish at the moment, but there will come a point. But I'm not sure that we are, as they say, in all the best car journeys, we are not there yet. But certainly worthwhile building a bit of a buy list for when we get there. The small cap portfolio has been cashed up for a while, 41% in cash, and has a holding in BBOZ, which is about to turn positive, which is a bit worrying because it was down 30%. Just shows you how far the market has fallen away since. Fat and happy at Easter.
Thank you, Henry. Some good stuff as always there. Leighton, anything interesting from the brokers today?
Thanks, Tom. Not a whole lot going on this morning. Westpac results, though, have been pretty well received from the brokers, but I feel like that was probably to be expected. Morgan Stanley has upgraded to overweight and they've lifted their target price 15%, and that implies a 4.5% upside now. UBS and Citi yesterday both had buy recommendations upon their first assessments of the results. And Citi has a target price 18% above the current share price, and UBS has a target price 10% above. And otherwise, Credit Suisse and Macquarie are both neutral this morning and they've adjusted their target prices accordingly. And Computershare, Macquarie has just reiterated its outform recommendation and target price of $36, suggesting that market conditions are supportive of a recovery in the US mortgage servicing business. So that sort of just highlights what we've been saying for quite a while now, with Computershare being a bit of a play at the moment.
Yeah, geared to those higher interest rates. And finally, Chris, what are you talking about in trading today?
Thanks, Tom. I'm just following on from what I was talking about yesterday, and something Henry was just talking about is, you know, starting to look at some stocks that have really been absolutely hammered and might in due course present worthwhile buying opportunities. So I talked about ARB yesterday, a company that I've spoken a lot about in the past. Aristocrat would be another one, you know, a very high quality company whose share price has fallen sharply. Domino's Pizza would be another, was 160 late last year, is now just north of 60. So I was giving up $100 on the share price. And the one that I've zoomed in on this morning is AP Eagers, or now known as Eagers Automotive, of course, owns a network of car companies throughout Australia. Same thing, share price has fallen dramatically from $17 late last year to now sub 12, has just broken lower again. So don't get me wrong, I'm certainly not buying these things now, but they fall into that category of companies that I think are good, solid companies whose share prices have been absolutely hammered, worth just putting them on a watch list somewhere. And then, you know, for me personally, looking at the technicals and waiting for that evidence to suggest that they have bottomed and indeed are turning and then potentially jumping back into them. So, you know, everyone would know that I'm normally a trend trader. Well, guess what? The market's not trending right now. So I need to find another strategy. And I need to be looking for stocks that are dramatically oversold, but are still high quality businesses. So that is the route that I'm taking now.
Well, it is trending.
It is trending. It's just
not trending up. Sorry, misspoke. Not trending up, that's for sure.
And Chris, I haven't checked, but do you have any open positions in trading as well?
We've got South 32 and Santos, which again are in spaces, materials and energy, obviously, that I think will hold up reasonably well. Certainly not today, not on a day when the market's getting absolutely pounded, but I think those two sectors will still bear reasonably well, or relatively well, I should say, throughout this sell down.
Cool. Marcus, you've got a survey in the newsletter today. What are you looking at?
Yes, I am having a dinner on Wednesday for a bunch of friends and acquaintances, my sort of demographic, in Melbourne. And I thought it would be interesting to send a quick 20-question survey out to them about their financial circumstances. It's anonymous. And they will gain some objectivity, I think, when they see the results about their situation compared to their peers. And I realized this would be a really interesting survey for members as well. It's got all sorts of interesting questions in it about finance. It also has a request for any sort of stock ideas that you have. Anyway, it is in the newsletter today. Have a look at that. If this concept of a dinner and a survey and a bit of financial education works well with friends and acquaintances, I will roll it out to members on a similar sort of basis. And this would be the sort of survey that we would send attendees to work out, or so they can work out just where they are relative to everybody else. So please fill in the survey today in the newsletter. It's very short, it's only 20 questions.
And we went through a couple of those responses today and found
some very interesting stuff. Yes, 30% of people do not share their financial details with their partner. There you go.
Yeah. And to our question of the day, we've almost answered it in parts through the podcast, but the signposted a bit more. Is it too late to sell? Henry, start off with you.
I don't know if it's too late to sell. I think it's a good idea to go through your portfolio and have a look at things that really won't bounce back when we bounce back. So maybe that's an interesting exercise. As far as the market goes, the risk has evaporated pretty quickly. So I think the risk reward is skewed against you if you're starting to pull the pin now. It should probably have been a couple of weeks ago. So you probably missed the optimal time to sell or even the suboptimal time to sell. So I wouldn't be panicking and selling en masse today in our market, at least. We certainly have better fundamentals than the US market.
Chris?
Yeah, with respect to the person who constructed the question, I don't think it's a particularly elegant question. And what I mean by that is I think everyone needs to work their process. And Henry spoke to it, Marcus spoke to it. And I think that's the best thing that you can do. So, you know, rather than thinking to yourself, I want to have X percent cash in my portfolio, work your process. Understand what you think about the macroeconomic picture, understand how that feeds into the way you want to position from a sector level, and then have some sort of screening tool to figure out whether those stocks are meeting the criteria or not meeting the criteria. And if you work that process, that'll tell you whether you should be selling or buying en masse, as Henry says, and you'll end up where you end up based on your investment philosophy. So I can't tell you whether I think it's the right time to be selling or buying. Just ultimately have a process, work it, and you'll end up where you end up.
With respect, Chris, from what I hear you saying there is you are talking about how the funds are run, how our funds are run with a process.
Yeah, I think everyone should run
that. That provides a structure for fairly long-term funds management and taking a macro view downwards. Whereas I would say to do you sell now, it entirely depends on who you are and what you do.
That's precisely what I'm saying.
Saying is you're coming from fairly long-term view,
reiterating
the SMA process.
Yeah.
But it really comes down to who you are, how quick off the mark you are. Vigilance on the way down has to be matched with vigilance on the way up. And if you're 2 weeks behind the sell-off now because you're not very vigilant and you're a long-term investor, I don't think you need to start now selling because you're going to have to buy it back soon. So if you've missed it, you're going to miss the bottom as well. You now sell. And that's the problem. If you're highly vigilant as a trader, you'd be going, yeah, look, let's just get out of everything and be vigilant enough to wake up every morning and go, hang on, there's the bottom. Now I'm back in. So it's all a question of time frame, who you are, what you're doing. So traders could easily still be selling now. But I think long-term investors, as I disappeared off to Tasmania, I'm thinking things are just getting a little bit wobbly. Now they've gone oblong. I've missed it. So I've got to now continue to miss it, I think, not compound the error by selling everything. As an investor, I'd be pretty relaxed. This 8.9% in our market without a massive macro deterioration, which has surprised or shocked, is not a big fall. It's a normal fall. So, and the banks are doing okay. They've all got their dividends coming up. So those big long-term investors, they just wouldn't be bothered too much. For anyone who's in Bitcoin or SQ2, well, you're a different type of investor, aren't you? And you'd be playing in charts and doing very short-term stuff. So it's different horses for different courses. But we've missed it as an investor, so I don't think I'm going to compound the problem by selling everything now.
Leighton, anything to add there?
There's probably not too much to add myself. I think I'd be maybe starting to look for a buying opportunity instead, though.
Ooh.
How about you, Tom?
No, I'm not doing anything in the same boat as Marcus. All my stuff is pretty long-term. I'm not going to react. I'm sure I could get some better entry points if I did sell some things, but no, not too worried at this point.
Well, you were actually head in your hands going, my God, I've lost money, weren't you, this morning?
Was.
Yeah, you were. But
I hadn't looked at my account in a while.
But one of the things that you hold is that Qual ETF, is that right?
Yeah.
Amazingly, the quality ETF is on the list of one of the worst performers.
Mm.
And I'm entirely sure that will recover in the same way. So, you know, you're fairly long-term. So
yeah, that's it. It's long-term. Yeah,
it's a young person's thing to look at your bank account or your portfolio and go, my God, there's a case of beer I just lost. But the truth of the matter is the nature of the things you're invested in as your demographic was ETFs longer term, and that'll play out. This is a very small correction in that long-term plan.
Mm-hmm. Some great stuff there, guys. See you all back here tomorrow.
Thanks. See ya.
Thanks, guys.